New Vrindavan, Srimad Bhagavatam class, June 18th, 2012, Canto 10, Chapter 68, Text 27.
No longer should the Yadus be allowed to use these royal symbols, which now cause trouble for those who gave them, like milk fed to poisonous snakes. Having prospered by our grace, these Yadavas have now lost all shame and are daring to command us. There's no purport for quite a few verses, so we'll skip over to the first purport. Which states that this is in the middle of a series of insults. Purport. Here Lord Balaram angrily states, quote, "Never mind the Yadus. These rascal Kauravas even dare to insult Lord Krishna." Om Maganatanamandasya Ganatana Sharakaya Chakshuddhamudhitamyakatasmishuddhamana. This is actually a very important purport summed up in one line. Because in the material world, which is likened to a blazing forest fire, a conflagration. Why that analogy? Because of conflict between unlimited sparks of consciousness called jiva, we're all competing grossly or subtly to be the center. So in this series of insults being hurled by the Kauravas toward the Yadus, with Baladev being the medium, the intercessor, who utilized Uddhava as like a minister, counselor, who assessed the situation beforehand while Baladev stayed camped in the garden outside the city, formulating his strategy for reconciling this conflict. The marriage of Samba and Lakshmana did not get off to a smooth start, and from that impulse erupted a major family conflict. And we hear how after the initial formalities, when both parties were sincerely asking about the welfare of their relatives, then Baladev got right to the point, give Samba and Lakshmana back, and this conflict erupted. We hear in the scripture, and we experience in our daily lives, that sometimes conflict ensues even between Vaishnavas. And in Sri Srila Vrindavadas Thakur, who is the Vyasadeva of Chaitanya Lila, repeatedly, consistently reminds us in these episodes, don't take this to be ordinary, and really, don't take sides. Because if you side with one Vaishnava over another, or one party over another party of Vaishnavas, you're making yourself an enemy. But who are you really making yourself an inimical toward? That's stated in this purport. Never mind the others. They're daring to insult Krishna, not directly, but through insulting his representative. So when conflicts ensue amongst Vaishnavas, which they inevitably will, understand, it's not between you and that person. It's really between you and Krishna. And Krishna ultimately is facilitating reconciliation. But to graduate from one paradigm to a more progressive, healthy, and appropriate one, much of the old has to crumble for the new to emerge, and it's not always smooth, as we see as this conversation develops. And Shri Baladev, who is Balaram, the reservoir of pleasure, he was becoming increasingly more and more angry to the extent that his beautiful moonlight face became very difficult even for the devotees to look toward. Now, in the beginning of this episode, when Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana were informed of what Sangha did, and they were so enraged, and even Bhishma, he kind of participated in the unceremonious, irreligious act of teaming up, ganging up unfairly to arrest Sangha and bring him back as captive. It was humiliating. And Sangha, the beloved child of the Jadus, he did not tolerate the injustice. He was like a lion being harassed by jackals, and he put up a good fight and made it clear that this is not appropriate. And then when word reached Drubhasena what had happened, he basically declared war, and the Jadus had already put on their armor and were prepared to go to battle. Then Baladev intervened and said, let not there be useless bloodshed between our families. Let me go and mediate, using Uddhava as his agent. In spiritual life, we will experience situations which impart to us the full range of emotions and spiritual experiences. And there's a reason for that, because underlying all dealings, especially amongst Vaishnavas, is the merciful hand of the Lord working things out. And we hear it, and we say it amongst ourselves, don't take it personally on one hand, and don't be impersonal on the other. Impersonal means you're indifferent. Taking it personally means the issue is either about me or you. But taking it properly means it's really about Krishna. And as Vrindavanadas Thakur says, he not only says don't take sides, but he says something that needs some qualification. He says consider it to be some lila unfolding, which will have components of drama to it, which, you know, stirs up emotions naturally. How do we handle them? And as you watch this pastime unfold, it got very intense. Because at a certain point, Baladev, he gave two instructions. One to his plow. He told his plow, now you just expand so large, you hook the whole city of Hastinapur. And on the other hand, he told Gangadev, you just drown everybody except Samba and Lakshmana. And he began to actually drag the city, to submerge everyone under the current of Gangadev. And then they experienced a transformation and change of heart. So you didn't mean all these insults. But to behold your divine anger, which is simply, I'm paraphrasing, of course, which is simply for our purification and redemption and preparation to return back home with proper respectful gratitude and appreciation. When Baladev saw the change of heart, he became very peaceful and beautiful and attractive again in his normal way. And then the Kauravas brought out Samba and Lakshmana. And Duryodhana observed that his daughter was actually very happy being with Samba. And that made him happy. And he gave such a huge dowry that Baladev very happily returned to the Yadus with his new son. Well, not his new son. His son and new daughter-in-law. And recently, during the preceding and following events of the 24-hour kirtan, as we experience such extremes of emotional experience, the joy of seeing old godmothers and godsisters after many years separation in some cases, beginning with another memorial to the departed Vaishnavas, which just brings out the depths of the mourning that we all feel. And in hearing, especially about the other two that we didn't even know so much, most of us here in New Vrindavan, putting a face onto these names and a history onto their coming into our association, it naturally evokes a sense of mourning, which is not to be confounded with a type of grief that Krishna is chastising Arjuna for in the beginning of that Bhagavad Gita. You're mourning for that which is not worthy of grief. He doesn't say you shouldn't mourn. He said you shouldn't mourn for that which is not worthy, meaning the body, which is temporary. It's still an object of reverence in the case of Vaishnavas, to the extent that pure devotees are placed in samadhi, honoring their sacred remnants, which continue unlimitedly in the future, as was Srila Prabhupada's palace, to offer opportunity to develop a relationship, to render service, and to get to know them, the departed souls, who continue to live forever in a world made of sound, which comes through their instructions. It's interesting to see how devotees feel during memorials to departed souls, and the range of spiritual emerged from the heart and is very purifying and edifying to feel a surge of gratitude and appreciation even after the contact is finished on the physical plane. Because we're all united by a common thread of gratitude. And therefore, in all circumstances, devotees bow down in humble obeisances to the lotus feet of Krishna as he draws us into the natural current of surrender and the internal transformation of heart that naturally accompanies that. In Chaitanya Lila, as the Sankirtan movement was born, Lord Chaitanya chose Sri Vasanga as the place for the nocturnal kirtans, the devotees return from their various services in different places. And Sri Vasanga became like a second Vrindavan, where the love of Radha and Krishna is joyfully proclaimed in song and dance, in which Lord Gauranga would sometimes dance on the earth and sometimes he would just float in the air, dancing gracefully as he transformed into different features, different cues, different gestures. And sometimes very dramatically, you would just come back down and it would feel like an earthquake. And when Nitai and Gauranga danced in the air, and when they came down together abruptly, sometimes it felt like the earth collided with another planet. And just such extremes of joy, which was threatened to be severely disrupted the night which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami hardly touches upon him, the pastime of Srivasa's son dying right around dusk. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains it in more detail. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has expanded the Leela into 13 songs, almost paradoxically entitled Shoka Satana, the dispelling of all grief by hearing about how Srivas Thakur lost his beloved son. And if you go back to a previous Leela, it's Leela because Srivas Thakur is eternal. And he's eternally infused with Narada Shakti. But for the sake of the absolute entering into the three-dimensional realm, there's a story to it. Kavi Karnapur tells in his Chaitanya Chandadayanatakam how Lord Chaitanya asked Srivas, do you remember how you yourself were saved from the hands of death and at that time infused with Narada Shakti? And he said, yes, I remember very clearly. Before the Lord entered my life, up until the age when I was 16, I was wild, restless, merciless, disobedient to Guru and Sadhu and Vaishnavas, and just hard-hearted. And then at the age of 16, into my dreams, a very kind-hearted soul appeared and said, he told me, Brahman, in name only, I'm here to tell you that you have only 1 year to live, and then you will die. I'm done. And Srivastava said, when I woke up, I was so sorrowful. My life would be cut short at the age of 17. But then I considered, this is actually good fortune. And I made a vow, I will endeavor to understand the goal and the purpose of life. So he began studying Shastra very attentively, and attending the Bhagavatam classes regularly at Devananda Pandit's ashram. And then he saw one day something that really jumped out toward him in the Narada Purana, the verse, Harinama, 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 Eva Keva, Mukalo, Nisteva, 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 Gakti Ramita. I considered that to be a direct message from Krishna. And took shelter of the holy name. And then, during the Bhagavatam class, when I was standing on the balcony, that fateful moment arrived, and I died and plunged down from the courtyard above, from the balcony above into the courtyard below. And as I hit the ground, I attained new life. And I now understand that it was you, my Lord, who saved me from the clutches of death, and at the time infused me with that Narada Shakti. And I'd wait to proclaim that Sri Vas is true to his name, Sri, the fortune, Vas, the abode of, the abode of fortune. He's named accordingly. And it was Srivas, by his mystic intuition alone, was aware that the Lord would soon appear. This is going back further, in the house of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. And he helped them prepare to be the parents of the Lord himself. And then, as Nimai entered into his days of scholarship and triumphs of learning, and was indulging in all the academic pursuits. And the Vaishnavas were so pained to see that he had such a brilliant intellect. He would never talk about Krishna. He'd always avoid any conversations on spiritual topics, at least devotional topics. But he always maintained a strong sense of reverence toward Srivas Thakur as an elderly Vaishnava, but more so as a second father. He was always very respectful. So one day, seeing Nimai wandering in his peripatetic path through Navadvipa, he just challenged him, "Where are you going, O crest jewel of the arrogant? Consider, why is it that people study? You study day and night, but what's the purpose of study? Why do people study? They're looking for peace and happiness. That's only found in bhakti. If you miss that point, the essence of all scripture, the purpose of all knowledge, you've just wasted your life." Now, at that time in his lila, nobody would confront Nimai Pandit. Nimai, he bowed down with a utmost humility, said, "By your mercy, and only if the devotees are kind to me, will I be able to attain devotion to Krishna." So, when he returned from Gaya to manifest his Sankirtan pastime, And it was there in Srivas's courtyard that the Lord first revealed that at Vyas Puja, his six-armed form. There he revealed his Mahaprakash and so many wonderful pastimes. And Srivas was very lenient in a allowing entrance to the kirtan. But as we know in the case of that tapasvi Brahmin boy, he didn't have direct permission of the Lord. But Srivas, you know, he could see that his heart was so pure and sincere, he said, well, just hide, because you don't have his, and then in the kirtan, my Lord Gauranga stopped and said, there's an imposter here. And Srivas said, there's no atheists, there's no blasphemers, there's no materialists. He said, but there's an, and then the Brahmin, he realized that, and he ran away. And Srivas was trying to defend him. He's so austere, he's so simple and pure. He lives only on little milk. And Lord Gauranga said, I cannot be purchased by tapasya. I can only be purchased by humility, surrender, and the devotion of the heart. And he proclaimed that if the caretaker of a crematorium takes shelter of me, I am his and he is mine. But if a sannyasi fails to take shelter, he is useless. What austerity is to Gajendra, an elephant, or Hanuman, a monkey, or the gopi, his cowherd? What austerity is to they perform? So as the Brahmin was running away and Lord Gauranga in a rage was proclaiming his disapproval that someone entered without his consent, that Brahmin, who was the object of his anger in a sense and was running, but he was not overcome with fear or considering himself unfortunate that he was basically thrown out. His heart was so overflowing with gratitude that, yes, I'm not qualified. I was able to enter into the kirtan and experience my heart's desire in seeing Lord Gauranga dance. And Lord Gauranga could read his heart, and he called him back. And he came before Lord Gauranga, he placed his lotus feet upon that Brahmin's head, and very kindly informed him, don't rely on your austerities. Take shelter of devotional service and the devotees. And on the other night, which we all know, but it has wonderful details that can serve to increase our appreciation. Srivas' son died just shortly after sunset, and it was the next morning before he was informed, and Srivas was trying to console the grieving mother and relatives and neighbors and everybody, which he did. But gradually, as one by one, the devotees came to know that Srivas just lost his son. They became like almost paralyzed in grief. And one by one, they were turning to Srivas and saying, he was just dancing in great ecstasy with Lord Gauranga. And as gradually everyone became overcome with grief, finally Lord Gauranga stopped and asked, what am I sensing here? My heart has been pierced by unbearable anguish. And at that point, Srivas had to confess, well, my son died at the beginning of the kirtan. I said, why wasn't I informed? I said, I can bear any calamity other than to see your kirtan disrupted. So Lord Gauranga went to the boy and said, why could you leave? And he sat up and said, I'm not independent. By your inconceivable mercy, I've been warranted birth in Navadvip. And Srivas Thakur is my father. And your service, and now by your will, you've sent me elsewhere. someone else's son, father, husband. But all these relationships do not possess so much as a speck of truth, because you are the only eternal friend and guardian of all souls. And I'm just, the boy continued to speak, I'm just amazed at my good fortune. And all I ask of you, my Lord, is that you bless me to ever remain situated in devotional service. And then he died again. And Lord Chaitanya said, Srivas, you have lost one son who you clearly love dearly, as you do all your family members. But you've not been disturbed in your devotional service. When Krishna says Vata sparsas to Kantiya Krishna Subhadubadaya, it doesn't mean that your mind and senses will not be disturbed by any changes and challenges that enter our lives. He means let not your resolve, your intent, and your surrender be disturbed. And then he proclaimed that though you've lost one son, Nitai and I, being helplessly bound by your love, will remain your sons eternally. And, from the grief that spread from one devotee to another as they reached that, as they received that unpalatable news, hearing the exchange of words and love between the departed boy and the family and the devotees, everyone experienced that transition from the tears of grief to the tears of overflowing joy. And then Lord Gauranga fell down crying. How can I leave such a family as this? And nobody knew, but they suspected, as he considered taking sannyas, which he did shortly thereafter. And the whole land of Bengal wept, and those tears, which were really an expression of deep gratitude, because we cannot taste the heights of ecstasy without experiencing the depths of sorrow. And bhakti means we will be awakened to the full range of emotions as our soul awakens and learns how to interact properly with the devotees, because our interactions with the devotees is really the indication and the practice of how we learn to love and serve the Lord. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. The connection is the relationship did not get off to a smooth start, but ended, but culminated in everybody being more happy, grateful, and appreciative than they were before it all unfolded. Just to narrow it down. The Yadus and Kauravas had friendly, familial dealings, but there was some underlying resentment which didn't come to the surface until Sambha kidnapped Lakshmana. And the Kauravas considered that an insult. And their grievances all came came out and were expressed to the representative of Krishna, who was Baladev in this case. And the tensions were increasing to the point that, you know, Baladev was just going to finish the city of Indraprastha, saving only Sangha Lakshmi. But then, and the Kauravas' prayers are also very illuminating. He said that, my Lord, you who serve by cultivating goodness have become very angry in a divine way just to uplift us to a more healthy, wholesome level of relationships. And they were appreciating that. And because of that expanding appreciation and gratitude, they saw the whole situation vastly different. They began to appreciate that, you know, our families that were, you know, previously connected only by marriage, Kunti and Pandu, I've now been reconnected by the marriage of Sambha and Lakshmana. And they were feeling, because of the way the Leela of the Lord not only rectified but purified everyone, they were they entered a new level of loving relationships, deeper and purer than anything. And that's why Vrindavan Das Thakur says, when you see conflicts amongst Vaishnavas, accept that it's some leela of the Lord. Now that doesn't mean in the sahaja sense. It means, what is the leela? Krishna is orchestrating everything in creation, especially in the lives and relationships of Vaishnavas, to prepare us for our homecoming.
So,
to prepare and purify us for going home.
And when you said, you know, the conflict with the Vaishnavas, it didn't mean, you know, pure Vaishnavas.
It doesn't qualify either. There's a different standard between the two. The same principle is consistent, although the application may vary.
That's how, you know, we are just aspiring
to the neophyte Vaishnava, there's more anarthas involved. Pure Vaishnavas, there's no anarthas involved. But whether the purification is in its initial or final stages, spiritual life is not dynamic, it's not stagnant. It's dynamic. You know, we get attached to and take shelter in nostalgia for the way things used to be in the good old days. And we embellish the good old days to be better than they actually were. Because we're more comfortable with, you know, pain of the unknown than the uncertainty of progress. And that's what we cling. And therefore the Lord arranges calamities to uproot the illusions that anchor our lives. And therefore we hear sometimes sayings like, let go. But what's the point? Because spiritual life is not stagnant. It's not that you reach a certain level of civility and Krishna just maintains it like that. It's dynamic, it's ever increasing. Ever increasing means paradigm shift, which are not always smooth, but are progressive if we're rightly situated.
So, because you also said,
and he's talking about, you know, some. not only the dealings amongst pure Vaishnavas, but the dealings between the lords. You know, Lord Nityananda and Advaita, they were mock fighting quite regularly. And some get bewildered by this, you know, take sides. He's arranging to purify our hearts and our relationships. The character is tested and cultivated in challenge. When there's challenge, you know, when everything's just going your way, your deeper character is not, you know, revealed and enriched. In conflict comes, it's the test. How you handle it reveals your current level of character, and how you handle it determines the quality of character you're developing. So, whether it's neophyte Vaishnavas or advanced ones, we all universally will meet challenge. And the Lord arranges it to, you know, expose for the sake of purifying the deeper anarthas, which we might not even be aware of in our hearts, which are obstructing progress back to home. And when they come into the light, it's not always pretty, but it's necessary for them to be purified. Yes, it's important to maintain that discrimination. And Vrindavanas Thakur says, and I'll just, you know, paraphrase very simply, conflict amongst Vaishnavas is lila. You have to understand that in proper context. It's Krishna lila in the sense that Krishna is orchestrating everything in creation for the purification of the soul. Doesn't mean that our conditioned reactions is Krishna's desire. It's Krishna's arrangement to reveal, to hold up the mirror and let us see, you know, what is our actual state of character, what needs to be improved, but also what is our potential. Your potential is not revealed until it's tested and challenged. Because along with the anarthas within our hearts that come to the surface in times of, you know, crisis and challenge, also, and that's why it's important to experience, and the Lord arranges that we experience the full range of, you know, emotions and opportunities, because it's not only that, you know, as in the West, there's nothing covered that will not be revealed, nothing concealed that will not become known. And of course we think, oh, my anarthas are going to be revealed. Well, they are. But along with that, your potential, your creativity, your vocation will be realized if you're open to that. So that it's all lila means it's all part of Krishna's arrangement to purify the living entities, to help them on the path back to home. It doesn't mean it's Krishna's desire. There can be temporarily a difference between Krishna's desire and what Krishna tolerates. Balaram here, we hear he's tolerating a lot of insults. He doesn't desire that the devotees insult him. He tolerates it. In the end, he gets his desire that we become purified. They're both covered in the depths of your heart. The subtle roots of your anarthas as well as the roots of your potential, invocation, and empowerment. And our conditioned state, which is blind to all these things because we're so superficial. Spiritual life means going deeper to the essence. Some of it won't be pretty, but with the undesirable will be the desirable also. So it's a weeding process. Pulling out the weeds, identifying and cultivating the bhakti of the bhuta. Krishna will arrange situations where we experience the full range of spiritual emotions, because to be denied any one of them means you're deprived of the wholesome potential of the holistic experience.
My heart.